Blog Talk Radio.
Forget about all the evil in the world, and we talk about things that really matter to Americans. And that, my fine feathered friends, is sports. But sports right now is a mess. It's a mess. I knew right when they were, it was several years ago, when they were coming out with this gambling was everywhere. It was on every app. I mean, you could do it on your phone, you can do it on your computer, you can do it here, you can do it there. And look, if I love gambling, don't get me wrong, I am not a hater. I gamble myself. I love it. And I don't have a problem with gambling and gambling on sports. I remember in New York, we had OTB, off-track betting. You'd go there and you didn't have to really spend a lot of money. And you can there all day long with a $20 bill in your pocket. You gamble a couple of bucks on a million horse races. You make like $5. Okay, now you got five extra dollars. Now three extra dollars that you have, and you can just bet. You can play there all day long, and it was great. It was a lot of fun. There was no problem. problems. I understand if gambling is controlled, it's not a problem. But when it's so easy and so expansive, you just open up this huge, giant, gaping door. And it, we're seeing it. We don't know if any of these games are actually on the level. We don't know anymore. I mean, we've seen the NFL. We've seen some very ridiculous, questionable calls and wondering, these refs have a couple of bucks on this game? Are they trying to beat the spread? What are they trying to do? Well, I don't think gambling with on apps, I think they need to eliminate those. It's too easy. It's too much. And we're seeing it now. And this Ohtani mess is not going away. It's not going to go away. It should not go away. I think there's 17 states that do not allow online gambling. Well, unfortunately, this should not be a congressional, but I think Congress is going to have to get involved in it because you're killing the sports. You're killing sports. You're killing it. Gambling kills everything. And again, I don't have a problem with gambling and gambling on sports, but if you have it controlled, it's not going to be a problem. But when it's everywhere, every phone, every app, every computer, everything. It's too much. And it's too easy for these guys to gamble, and they're not supposed to. All sports have no gambling. All have it. Well, do it for them, like Ohtani did. I'm sorry, I'm not buying this. I'm not buying this Ohtani story. I refuse to buy this Ohtani story. It just doesn't make any sense. Well, tonight, when the gets here, we are going to be talking about this Ohtani gambling scandal. UFL now kicked off. I've been watching little bits and pieces of it. We got more games tomorrow. And, of course, we've got March Madness. I haven't been following too much, but Viper has. When Viper comes on board, we're going to get his take, and we're going to be following a couple of games that are playing tonight. Getting back to this Ohtani gambling scandal. Now, here are two questions that I have that just tells me there is just, I'm not buying this. Right now, I cannot buy it. I'm not. And again, when you have stories that change, then you know you're not telling the truth to begin with. Now, my first question, and I don't know why I didn't bring it up last week, and I should have. But this was the first thing that I thought of. What kind of is going to give a man who makes only $85,000 a year? Now, I'm not saying $85,000 a year is going to make you a pauper. However, if you're making $85,000 a year, give me the name of any bookie that's going to give you a $4.5 million gambling credit. Those bookies don't exist, and if they do, please give me their name. I want to make some bets. The guy makes $85,000 a year. He is not going to get a $4.5 million gambling credit. What happened? This guy is not going to let just any Joe Smith Kelly off the street get $4.5 million in gambling credit. That bookie's not going to do it. Obviously had to know that it was Ohtani that was behind it, and he knew as much money as Ohtani makes, and why he wasn't paying his bills right away, I don't know. It's a different story. So he was going to get the money. I mean, the guy made all over $100 million a year with baseball and with his endorsements. I think he made over $70 million just endorsement alone. And then his salary? Yeah, he's making over $100 million a year. He's going to be the guy that's going to get a $4.5 million gambling credit. But his employer is not. It just ain't going to happen. People like Otani, who do make over $100 million a year, and most of these ball players, even if they're not making $100 million a year, well, they got a lot of money and have a lot of managing money. They've got accountants, they've got agents, they've got all these money managers. Blah, 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 blah. They're going to notice that $4.5 million was taken out of the account and went to, well, we don't know. So there's no way you can get me to believe that Otani did not know or was not notified that $4.5 million was taken out of the account. I'm not buying that. I'm not there yet. Now, could this be true? Okay. Well, I don't care. I really don't care how good of a friend you are. He wasn't that good of a friend. They became friends. And he got into the league in, what, 2018? He's not going to have carte blanche on his bank account. Money is not. Give him, oh, yeah, here's all the information. Do whatever you want. And there's, even if he stole it, how did he steal it? Again, how was he able to get that information, to take that money out of his account without any of his money managers or any of his accountants knowing that there was $4.5 million taken out of the account and nobody told Otani, hey, you got $4.5 million missing out of your bank account there. I'm not buying that. They got too many people managing their money. And if you see this money, it goes for a loan, you're taking a loan? You get $100 million. Year, what are you taking your own for? So that doesn't make any sense. And again, we've got Seth on board. And again, so you've got that. And again, what just this alone right there should just put a big, huge, giant red flag up. What kind of book are you going to give a man who makes $85,000 a year $4.5 million in gambling credit? They're not going to do that. But they would do it to Otani because they know Otani's going to be good for the money. This guy who makes $85,000 a year, you know he's not going to. How is he going to get $4.5 million a year? Or how is he going to get $4.5 million to pay for that gambling credit? He's not. There's only so much interpretation you can do. And you're not going to ever be able to repay that $4.5 million out of $85,000 a year. It ain't going to happen. So the bookie had to have known that this was Otani. And Otani is going to be good for the money. There's no way no bookie is going to do that. And if there is, again, I want that bookie's name because I want to make some bets. Now, hold on, Seth. I want you to listen to this. Now, this, through all of my contacts, it went through this guy, went through that guy, went through this guy. Anyway, it ended up in my lap. Well, I have an audio recording, surreptitiously recorded, in a meeting with the commissioner of baseball and all baseball officials. And they were talking about what to do with this Otani mess. So, Mr. Producer, could you cue up cut number 4? Get that ready. Okay, he's ready. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. This is Major League Baseball talking about what to do with this Ohtani mess. Here it is. Did you hear that? Crickets. They're not talking about anything. And why are they not talking? Because they're trying to throw this under the rug. They do not want a black mark on baseball, which I just really pisses me off. Because now you're going to hurt the game even more. You need to come clean immediately. He's guilty. Boom. He's out and move on. But when you're playing these kinds of games and you're not talking, well, when you're not talking, you're just showing more guilt. But again, nobody with $85,000 a year is going to get $4.5 million in gambling credit. It's just not going to happen. And with all the people managing his money, he's got a million of them, his agents and all of his money managers and accountants, this, that, and everything else. They're going to notice that $4.5 million was taken out of his account. And Ohtani is going to know about it. He's going to get the word. Well, this rookie is not going to give $4.5 million in gambling credit to a guy who makes $85,000 a year. He knows that money is coming from Ohtani, and Ohtani's going to be good for it. He knows it. That's why he was allowed to get that $4.5 million in gambling credit. This is a joke. Ohtani, I'm sorry, but you just stink of absolute filth and guilt. And baseball is trying to shove it under the rug. So us fans over here, oh, yeah, we won't notice? I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think so. Now, we do have Seth. We do have a couple other people in the chat room. Welcome, Fly Catch. So let's bring Seth on board. Seth, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Oh, no. Seriously, when you make $85,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and that's good money, and you're living the dream, I mean, literally. And then a casino is like, you know what? You're going to have a $4.5 million credit.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, losses possibly, right? Oh, no, this happens everywhere. This is so commonplace. Oh, wow, that's really great. I'm the interpreter for Shohei Ohtani. Oh, man, here's your $5 million credit limit. What?
Yeah, no.
What the F is anybody even talking about? We know what's going on. Yeah. And the mother effer was the best in baseball since Babe Ruth. And now he went Pete Rose. That's all good. Hey, man, even when people try to get you onto the Hall of Fame ballot, somebody from 1975 was so spiteful, they had something actually, like, caked up and, you know. And they were like, hey, mole effer, you still bet on that game, Pete. Oh, that's really cool. Thank you. Yes.
Well, I, you know, again, he knows that bookie knew that money was coming Ohtani, because you're not going to give this guy, keep giving him more and more credit and tack up a $4.5 million credit. He's still going to be able to pay it. The guy fucking knows this. So he has to have known that this money was coming from Ohtani. There's just no way, and I'm not buying it. He took the money without none of these people that he has managing his money didn't know about it. And if they did, they were going to tell him about it. He didn't know about it until after the story broke. I'm not buying that either.
Oh, no. And I know sometimes when people are rich and they don't realize that people embezzle certain amounts of money from them, $4.5 million, you might figure out at a third point. I'm just saying, people, $4.5 million, Yeah, unless you're like Willie Nelson's CPA, and you're just smoking so much grass that you don't even realize that your CPA screwed you. That's it.
Well, I mean that does happen, but in this case, I find it kind of difficult that none of his money managers, his accountants, and all these people, and then to notice that it was $500,000 a clip, it was going for a loan. Well, they're going to come up to him. What do you have a loan for? You're going to go through me to get the loan. See, this is another thing. All these money if he's going to get a loan, he's going to get a loan through his people, and they're going to know about it. His people would have said something. Any way you look at this, I don't care what direction, what vector you look at this, it just does not say innocence in any direction. It's guilt, and it's sad that Major League Baseball is doing everything. They're not even talking about it. Forgotten about it. Oh, the story doesn't exist anymore. Move on. Ugh. That's what bothers
me.
Well,
and that's the whole thing. If they do cover up this story, then we know Major League Baseball is also crooked and dishonest, just like the NBA. And we can go through these other sports, but now with gambling, the way it is, you have no idea if anybody is ever on the up and up, ever, in any
sport. No, that's
what
I was talking about earlier before you got on here. How are we supposed to know that any of the games that we're watching anymore is legitimate? And it's too easy to gamble. I mean, this player...
A lot of the sports organizations claim that they are entertainment and not really sports, so they can get away with it.
So how many of these
things are really entertainment things as compared to, like, real-life sport?
Well, it makes it so easy for any player. I mean, it's so easy. You can do it on the phone. You can get your buddy to do it for you. Get this, you can do that. It's just too easy. They've got to get rid of this online betting through your cell phone or through your computer. This online betting, and I hate to bring Congress in, but I think Congress at some point is going to have to step in because it's too easy and there's way too much corruption and there's far too much gambling. And I love to gamble. I'm a gambler myself, but I there's nothing wrong with it. But it's got to be controlled. And I knew once, as soon as all of these apps came out of all this sports betting, I was like, this is not going to end well. And this is only the tip of the iceberg. And if you think for 1 second that Ohtani is the only one in sports, baseball, football, doesn't matter, basketball, you name it, you think he's the only one with all of this sports betting going on? No way in hell. No.
And actually, just recently, there's a guy in basketball that's not really like a first or second stringer. The Toronto Raptors player.
Porter's his last name.
Porter's.
Yeah.
Yeah. This guy is like a prop bet guy. And he has effed up so many prop bets depending on what he wants to do that it's effed up. Yeah. Everybody is involved. You don't even know what's going on anymore when it comes to betting in sport.
And, you know,
when we were growing up as kids, the only places you could do any type of sport betting was Atlantic City and Las Vegas. And that was it.
But these prop bets, and I... love these prop bets because they're fun for people like you and me. You can put a couple of bucks down on, does the guy screw up the national anthem? Does he do this? I mean, this stupid crap. It's a lot of fun. You don't have to spend a lot of money. But now, and I did read that parts of that story, and I mean, it's too much gambling. It's too much. And I love to gamble, and I got nothing against gambling, but it has got to be regulated. All of these online gambling companies, they have got to go. Congress, you've got to step in because you're killing the sports. Every sport is getting murdered right now from this freaking online gambling. I'm sorry, if you can't see that, you're blind as a bat.
Oh no, and I do work with a lot of people that are 20 to 30 years old, and all they do is gamble on sport bets, and they make good money. So, I mean, it's not, like, horrible for them, but that's what they do 100% of their time.
Well, I know,
like,
but, I mean, people...
I'm actually watching these people do whatever, like, they should be doing for their job. They're more concerned about their sporting bets, dude.
Well, look. I mean, I got a friend of mine that he used to do. Fox had a thing, and you got to ask these questions, and it's very difficult. It's extremely difficult to win, but you don't need to spend a lot of money. And for people like us, it's a lot of fun. But the problem is these guys that are doing the game, the referees, the umpires, the players. Okay, they're. They know what this is. They know what's at stake. They're getting a bunch of money to do this or to do that. You don't know whether the games are real or not, and it's got to be regulated. Online gambling has to go, and I think it's a great convenience, but the problem is the games are not, you don't know that they're real, and it's too easy to cheat on the games. So you may win the game, but you beat the spread. So... It kills the game. It kills it.
See, to be honest, in New York City or in the New York greater metropolitan area, OTB. Like, we were used to OTB.
I loved OTB.
Bet on the horse, dude. Always.
I was talking about that earlier in my monologue. You would go to OTB, and you could pretty much spend all day there with a $20 bill in your pocket. You bet a couple of bucks on this game. Maybe you win five. Now you get three more extra bucks. And, you know, you buy a Coke or maybe some nachos or something. You couldn't have alcohol. But you would go in there, and you could spend all day watching the ponies and bet a few bucks. You didn't have to spend that much money. It was controlled, and it made a lot of money for New York, but they were like, oh, wait a minute, we're making too much money. Let's get rid of OTB, which is and it was only primarily horse racing. I don't think they did anything else. But, you know, with baseball, football, and all these sports, with it's too easy to gamble, it's killing it, and I hate to bring Congress into this, but I think they're going to have to. We got it's 17 states. It is outlawed for online gambling. California is one of them. I don't believe New York is. New York, I believe, can online gamble. But this is too much. Too much gambling, and it's killing the sports. And again, baseball, and you know every time money, you know, gets up to the plate, everyone's looking at him, and if he strikes out, did you strike out on purpose? Are you on the take? See what I'm saying?
Right. Yep.
And again, there's no way you're going to convince me that he was the only one. Even Pete Rose. I love my Lou Piniella, but Lou Piniella was just a degenerate gambler. They all were. I mean, again, I don't have a problem with gambling, but right here, I think it has to be nipped in the bud before it gets so screwed up that every game is going to be, no, there's going to be any game that's going to be legitimate. I mean, the umpires and referees, they're on the take. The players are on the take. The coaches are on the take. The, you know, the fans are on the take. Everybody's on the take. The bookie's on the take. I mean.
Right.
Well, anyway, the UFL kicked off today. I'm watching a little bit of it. And right now, the St. Louis Battlehawks are playing the Michigan Panthers. So
nice.
And then tomorrow we got, you know, some more games. And March Madness, I was kind of waiting for Viper to come in here. I haven't been following it. I followed it just pretty much every year, but this year, for whatever reason, have you been following it?
Not so much. Only Birmingham. That was it.
Well, there are a lot of teams that are in here that these colleges nobody's ever even heard of. Nova Southeastern? Huh? Who? I don't know. Well,
no, it's really kind of cool because they're really trying to create a NFL minor league system, and I think this is going to work now.
With football, yeah. Well, it did work, and it was supposed to be a minor league system when they had the XFL, but then COVID killed it. And Seattle had a team, and it was kind of fun, and it was actually pretty good football. It really was. And, you know, football does need a minor league system. Because like I've said before, that some of these guys, they get out of college. Well, they're still growing. They haven't finished maturing yet. Now, yeah, they were good in college, but they're not quite ready for the pros. And then now you can't get into the pros. You can't even make the practice squad. Now you're done. Well, now you can have a chance. You can develop some more skills, build your body up, and get up to speed. And, you know, if a team needs you, but hey, look. Every year, you know, players are going down and teams are like, man, we need another guy. We need a quarterback. We need a lineman. We need a this. We need a that. Well, now you got them. And when the NFL kicks in, these guys are already playing and they're already playing.
Hey, one of the players, he named himself Me Hate Me.
He Hate Me.
But
oh, that dude, yeah.
That motherfucker was actually a good secondary back, and he played in the NFL for like another like 5-10 years. So, yeah, we're going to see better football than you've ever seen, and some of these players are going to go to the NFL. They are.
Well, and here's another thing.
It's a different level.
Well, here's another thing. Now the NFL players, before they didn't have to worry about losing their job because they didn't have anybody to replace them. Now they're going to have to keep their job up because now they got people that can replace them and replace them just like that. And the same with baseball. You know, with minor league baseball. Hey, look, you know, hey, Mickey Mantle got sent down to the minors. If you can send Mickey Mantle to the minors, you can send anybody. So, and I think this is going to make the NFL, if the gambling has been involved, but I think it's going to make the NFL a little bit stronger, and the guys are going to respect their job a little more, because now there's several guys that can take their job away. Before, there isn't. You only got, you know, so many guys on the roster. You got 54 guys. That's it. You can't be calling up, you know, there's only so many Joe Flaccos that you can call up, you know, playing catch with his brother in the backyard to come in. It just doesn't happen that often. But I do like it, and these guys are playing for, you know, they're playing for the love of the game. They're not getting paid millions of dollars. So So they're playing for the love of the game. And, you know, you're going to get some good, exciting football, which everybody loves. Everybody loves good, exciting sports. They like the competition. They like the fight. They just don't like the, you know, and this gambling, though, again, I mean, I'm just, I don't know. I'm heartbroken. I guess that's the word I'm looking for. I'm heartbroken.
Well, no, it's the player that right now is accused for this is kind of the savior for baseball. Are like so boring, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, hey, this dude can throw a no-hitter and hit 40 home runs a year. I mean, that's pretty cool, right? And now we have lost all confidence and faith in this guy as baseball purists that he might as well be one of those steroid guys that we'll never put in the Hall of Fame, to be honest.
I read a story on that, too. They were comparing him to, you know, the steroid guys. And unfortunately, you know, public opinion. Well, look, I mean, he's only going to be DHing this year. So he's not going to really do too much. And then he's 29, going to be 30 here pretty soon. So realistically, he's only got maybe 9 to 10 years left in major leagues. So, and he's got Tommy John at 28. He's 29 now. Now, his body could be breaking down. I mean, not every time a Tommy John surgery works. When it does work, though, it makes it stronger. But not, it doesn't work every time. It's not 100%. So, I don't know. I mean, the Dodgers have got to be, though. They've got to be thinking to themselves.
We want to see it. Because Babe Ruth stopped pitching way earlier than he needed to. Whereas Shohei, that mother effer could pitch till he's 40, 45.
Oh.
And light it out, dude. And light it out.
I mean, only time will tell with that. But, I mean, if you are owner of the Dodgers, you have got to think into yourself. What did I do? I signed this guy for $70 million a year, and now we've got this, and he can't pitch. He can only DH. So DH is... Yeah, you only bat maybe 4 to 6 times a game, and there's only so many runs you can run in. I mean, $70 million for a DH, that's a bad decision. I think that's a bad, bad, bad decision.
Yeah, but this guy is going to pitch 15 to 20 times. And probably go 15-2. So
he's not pitching this year. He's not going to pitch at all this year.
Yeah. You just bet.
He's not pitching. He's not going to pitch at all this year. He's only going to DH. That's it. So he's going to have to wait till next year before he can pitch. He might be kicked out of the game by then. But, I mean, baseball is gone. They're just trying to just shove it under the rug and not talk about it anymore. And
Tommy isn't really pitching and batting, then that kind of takes away from this whole appeal. Really. We've never seen anything like this since Babe Ruth. Really. Just saying.
don't you want to know I'm with you?
Now you're paying $70 million. You've got this huge black cloud over him. You got to be thinking to yourself, man, how do I get out of this? Well, you can't. The doctor signed it for, what, 10 years?
10-year deal.
10 years. You're stuck with the guy. You're married to him. You can't even get a divorce. Even if you wanted to trade him, what team is going to be able to afford to pay $70 million for a DH? They're just not out there. Not even the Yankees, I don't think, now could afford it. That was a bad deal of $70 million anyway, because that is horrible. Because now you just took away money from all these other players. They can't make any money now because you got all your money invested in this guy. And it's the same with these $50 million quarterbacks. I mean, look at Cincinnati. You got a $50 million quarterback who's injured all the time, and I love my Burrow. Don't get me wrong. I love Burrow, and I want to see him succeed. The Bengals, they can't afford to buy anybody else. And the Chargers. Look at the Chargers. He's getting $50 million a year. I mean, I don't know. I think it's just you're getting paid way too much money. There needs to be a cap. I think there needs to be a cap on what a player can make. Forget about the total amount. They raised the total amount another $30 million this year. So forget about the cap, the whole cap. You got to be able to cap how much a player can actually make. And I don't think it should be done by the NFL or Major League Baseball. I think that should be done by, well, the executives running the team. I mean, these are businessmen. Do you not know business? Do you not understand basic mathematics?
Playoff?
I mean,
playoff.
Playoff. Just Christmas. I don't know. I don't know who's running these teams. I don't know what the hell's going on here, but it just stinks. And I love my sports. It's my greatest escape besides, you know, booze and occasional marijuana. I need escapes. And sports, it. Sports, you know, you need sports in this world. And we've had sports since human beings, since the first human being ran. I mean, we need sports, and all this gambling is killing it. And again, I'm a gambler. I love to gamble, but no, it's got to go away. It's got to go. Major League Baseball, yeah, they should really work. They need to step up. They need to step up to the plate is what they need to do. And they need to nip this crap in the bud. But everybody on the take, so how are you going to do it? I mean, how are you going to do it when everybody's on the take? How are you going to stop this? God, we live in a mixed up world. Well, I think the kink said it best. It's a mixed up, muddled, shook up world, except for Lola. Unbelievable.
Are we going with the Kinks now?
Well, I'm just saying. Oh, I saw him in concert. That was great.
Yeah. Like, how far have we went that we went with the Kinks, you know?
Well, I mean, where we are now, I didn't bring us here. This is a crazy-ass world we live in right now. It's a shame. Because, like you're talking about, when we kids, man, you watched a baseball game. That was real, man. That was real. You saw it. It was real. You saw football. It was real. There was none of this. There was none of this. None of it. Now,
yeah,
I mean,
people got hit. They got hit. And you saw it. And you were like, ooh. I think we need a stretcher and an ambulance, you know?
You know, I mean, mob used to have a lot of gambling.
You know, that was a good
hit.
I don't
know. Well, actually, college basketball did hurt the game because they rigged it. But football was harder to rig. You know, it's hard to rig football. But now they figured out a way. I mean, they got the referees. They can beat the spread with the ref. No, that wasn't a penalty. Oh, really? He wasn't passing interference. He ripped his jersey off, kicked him in the keyhole, tore his head off. No contact. Oh, okay. Unbelievable. Well, my links here for the March Madness games. The only game going on right now, Nova Southeastern. Where is that? Where is Nova Southeastern? Where is that? Oh, it's in Florida. It's a private university. Well, I didn't think private universities would, well.
Oh, whenever you imagine, like, whatever's happening in your life, and then as a kid playing college basketball, you're like, I'm playing in Southeastern Florida. You're living your best life, dude. So, wherever you're at in the tournament, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, well, is the tournament in the up and up? Now you got to ask yourself, is it up and up? Is it legit?
It is my favorite thing watching as a sports fan because NBA basketball sucks and it's rigged. But college basketball, March Madness,
oh, it's great.
That is the best thing you could ever watch in basketball. That is the best basketball tournament you can watch. After that, yeah, it's all going to go downhill because the NBA is rigged, dude. And it has been for a long time, and it's been sad. I can't watch a game that someone has four steps for a dunk and there's no call for a travel.
I know. That is ridiculous.
Watch it.
Are there somebody to somebody? Oh, it's a foul. Go to the free throw line. Oh, you bumped into him. Well, I really do. I mean, this gambling, it just really got to me. And I knew it years ago when they came up with this. I was like, this is not going to end well. This is going to be just too much. It's too easy to be corrupt.
Oh, again, no. Back in the day, when the Bulls were winning all those championships, the NBA had a bad ref, and then they told everybody he was the only one. Wait a minute. You admitted to a corrupt ref, and then you said he's the only one?
Tim
Donaghy. Yeah. Thank you. Right. Oh, okay. No, we'll just leave you now. The rest of the league is clean.
When that happened, when he got busted, Joe Dumars was the GM of the Detroit Pistons, and he immediately called Rasheed Wallace because Rasheed always said that he was corrupt. He could tell in his playing days. Like, it did not surprise him. But, yeah, just the simple fact of, he's the only one. It's a open and shut case, right? It's closed, moving right along. Yep, same thing with Shohei. They're not saying nothing. So you know
now,
it's bad.
Well, the silence is what bothers me. The fact that nobody's talking anymore, it's all like it never even happened, and everybody just move on, like we're stupid and we're just going to forget about it? No, that right there tells me that not only is Ohtani guilty, but now Major League Baseball is guilty.
Yeah, and how deep does it go? You know, like, yeah,
well,
yeah, it's...
I mean, I don't want to link this in, but I mean, look at this P. Diddy nonsense. They're being silent because of all these people that are involved, and they got sports people involved. So how
yeah.
many baseball players, how many football players, how many basketball players, how many, you know, what's going on? I mean, there's nothing legitimate anymore. And for baseball to be silent like this just tells me that, no, they're covering this up because there's probably more than just Ohtani. Or maybe they're just trying to protect Ohtani.
This is entertainment purposes only.
No, baseball isn't. It's a sports league. NFL and NBA, they're a sports entertainment league. Legally,
right,
that's how they
–
and so is the WWE. WWE
and now
is
the baseball,
sports entertainment.
Right.
Right.
So baseball needs to do that.
Well, yes. Yeah, you can't have just people thinking it's corrupt. And it's like they always – baseball gives themselves the black eyes. And it's a great sport. It's my favorite. I love it. But all the young kids and stuff, you know, they'll watch and play anything but baseball, you know. So Ohtani was turning that around. Like, he was bringing people to the ballpark. And, yeah, so that's why they're going to have to cover it up. They have no choice. But that's what's horrible about it. You know it's rancid.
No, it is. And, you know, you cover it up, well, then that you're going to have to cover up all these other guys that are involved in it, too. And the next guy, he's going to say, well, you can't bust me. You didn't bust Ohtani. So now you've just said it's legal to gamble in baseball. That's pretty much what you are saying right now. But only if you're good. If you're not very good, oh, yeah, they'll bust you. See, now that's the kind of crap that I don't like. You know, and Pete Rose, you know, he said it best. Hey, man, if I'd have had an interpreter, I'd be scot-free. I'd be in the Hall of Fame.
Pete's always good for a great quote. He is.
I love Pete Rose. He's still my favorite baseball player. I saw my first game I ever saw, man. I'm telling you, I'll never forget it.
Oh, no. I actually loved it when they allowed Pete Rose to still talk about sport. And so it was the commentator. He was telling
people. And he's good.
How you just hit. He was like, oh, no. You want to hit for whatever average, you just do this. And he's just showing you. And it's like, this guy is so good. And if you've ever been to Great American Ballpark, which is Cincinnati Reds ballpark, the first thing that you really kind of come into is they kind of show you the museum part of the inside of the park, but it's all in clear glass, and it shows you 4,000-something whatever hits from Pete Rose. And letting you know, this mother effer should be in the Hall of Fame, and they let you know it without it, and it's a very interesting perspective, but then you're like, dude, when you see all those baseballs on there, and that's 4,276 or whatever the F it is, and then you're like, that's a lot, man. How many people have ever hit that? Ever?
Well, the problem with the Hall of Fame is...
Ty Cobb.
Well, if you took Ichiro's stats from the Nippon Japanese League and put him with his MLB... You got to remember, he was like 26 or 8 when he joined the MLB. But yeah, Pete Rose was he was just a hitting machine.
No, but Ichiro Suzuki.
That's what I was saying.
Yeah. As compared to Shohei. But
yeah, Ichiro.
Oh, yeah. Ichiro.
Yeah, but you've got to look at it this way, though, with Ichiro.
He probably was the best hitter in baseball history. Not Major League Baseball. Baseball history. Ichiro.
Yeah, he was one of my favorites.
No, and if you look at hockey, Leonov in hockey would have been one of the best ever, but he played so long for the Soviet Union that when he came to America, that dude scored and made major goals that people are like, they know who Leonov is. Yeah. Same thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
What's the thing is, like, where can this story go? Like, what, you know, are they really doing a thorough investigation?
You got the fox running the hell saying, no, Mr. Farmer Man. No, there's no chickens missing here. Because he coughs up a load of feathers. I mean, Major League Baseball, yeah, you're going to do an investigation, but you're keeping silent, and you're going to say, well, we couldn't find any real evidence, so everybody just forget about it and go home. And you know that's what baseball's going to do. You know it. And that's going to really piss off a lot of fans. And look, baseball, you've lost a lot of fans with all the crap that you've done. And me being a purist, I don't like the DH, but anyway, that's been around forever. Now it's in both National League and American League. With all the other crap that they're doing, and now they're doing this? I mean, if you look at it, I mean, when I first moved to New York, we would go to, you know, games in Yankee Stadium. You can get into the bleachers for $5. It was cheap. Everybody was there. It was a big crowd. Now you look on Saturday and Sunday. Should be a sold out? No. Baseball's losing a lot of attendance. So I'd like to know how in the hell a team like the Dodgers is able to afford to pay a guy $70 million a year. How is that possible? Where is this money coming from? There's only so many tickets you can sell and so many jerseys and hats that you can sell. Where the hell is this money coming from? I mean, this guy's got to be a trillionaire. Forget about being a billionaire anymore to have a sports team. I mean, you got the stadium upkeep. You've got all the office monkeys that you have. You got a Brazilian of them. You got all these executives. You got all these coaches. You got all this. You got that. I mean, and the attendance is not where it used to be. Baseball's attendance has really dropped. Watch a game. Yeah, every once in a while you see a, you know, really big crowd, but most often you really don't.
You make me feel really bad about a 10-game package with two season tickets next to each other in Toledo baseball.
Triple A.
And then I got a suite. I know. All the people don't want to go to this stuff. I hear you.
Well, now it brings up, I just thought of something. What about minor league baseball? No one looks at minor league baseball. You could bet and cheat like you nobody's business and nobody would even know it. Because it's minor league baseball. And it really doesn't matter whether you win or lose. You're just trying to impress, you know, the scouts to bring you up. But no, too much gambling. Well, we've got a good game here. Illinois is playing UConn. And UConn is now up 28-23 over Illinois.
So this is the Elite Eight round, right?
I believe so.
Yeah. I was just perusing. There's still some quality teams in, some high seed.
Well, UConn is always up there. Almost every year, UConn is always, you know, getting in there. At least
ever
until
since
the
I was a kid. ever since I was a kid, UConn's been, they've just been a powerhouse.
Right.
No, it's like your Kansas, it's like your North Carolina. There's just certain teams that's just going to be there every single year. Somebody.
Well, I thought it kind of funny that LA wasn't even in it this year. I mean, how did they drop from winning it all 2 years ago to being not even in the tournament?
Yep, that's how fast it happens with all the transfers and the NIL and the portal. You know, like, you could literally have a brand-new team next year.
Well, we do got Viper on board. I'm sorry, Viper. I don't know how long you've been on board here, but I've been looking at other things and didn't notice you. So let's bring Viper on board. Viper, my good friend, welcome aboard. Happy Saturday.
Thanks, Scott.
Oh, this isn't Viper? Oh, this is Lou.
No.
I'm sorry. I'm the wrong number. No, Lou.
Oh.
Lou.
Oh.
Lou, no.
Hey, you look kind of Hispanic, Lou.
Well, Lou, we're talking about, we've been talking about the Ohtani gambling scandal and March Madness.
Okay.
Do you have any new information on either one of those?
Well, right now, keeping tabs on for us on the tournament here. There have been quite a few upsets. You got to handle it to NC State. No one gave them a chance, you know, being 11 seed and only put up so far. I mean, this kind of resembles the 1983 squad where they were, you know, became the unexpected champions against Bias Slam and Jama. And if they can win tomorrow, this might be, you know, one of the biggest success stories in tournament history. I don't know if they're going to be able to do it. But, you know, they're giving it a good shot. They're giving it all they've got. I mean, this has been, you know, the biggest success story in 40 years in college basketball.
So do you have a pick who's going to take it all?
I do. I have UConn. I mean, you know, they're going to face a tough opponent coming up, but it's not going to be easy. But I still think maybe UConn was all their moves. I think they're going to have a slight edge. And it's been over 20 years since we've last had a repeat champion.
Well, you know, that's the thing about UConn. They're always up there in at least the Elite Eight or the Final Four, but very seldom do they take it all. When was the last time UConn took it all?
Except the Illinois UConn.
Yeah, I mean, it's rare that they do take it all because, you know, we've seen them historic upsets in these tournaments.
Yeah.
But I don't think UConn is going to be capable of choking.
No, but when was the last time UConn took it? When was the last time they took it?
The last time UConn took it was 2023. This would be their back-to-back.
And you
They won it last year, UConn?
Yes.
Yes.
I don't remember that. The year before, it was UCLA.
Some crap. It's like,
we were watching
yeah.
Seth, who are you talking to? This Ohtani story, do you have any new information on that?
No, I mean, but the whole thing sounds suspicious. I mean, how do you not know that this is all behind, you know, and $4.5 million, that is a lot of money that, you know, if that happened, you know, I'm sure they knew something was going on, you know, by the time this is happening. But, you know, just when Ohtani had made, this had to happen. I mean, this is going to, you know, tarnish his career and, you know, the Dodgers, you know, just when they're looking to make it to, I think it's going to be a big distraction. I think the Dodgers are going to be in a lot of trouble here.
Well, yeah. Now, if the Dodgers get caught trying to cover it up, but it sounds more like baseball itself. MLB is doing more of the cover-up than the Dodgers.
Yeah, it's about to explode.
I don't know. I mean, and the Dodgers can't just get rid of him and fire him. I mean, they're still going to have to pay him. He's on a 10-year contract.
Yeah. Maybe he should have thought that first.
Well, he's not going to pitch at all this year. Yeah, he's not pitching at all this year. All he's doing is DH.
No.
And I don't know.
The whole thing sounds suspicious.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure what to do with any of it.
Yeah.
But to think that, you know, he's the only one, I mean, I don't know what they're really trying to cover up other than, you know, the greatest guy and they don't want to get a black mark, but you're actually making more of a black mark by not coming out and nipping this in the bud. You've
right.
already lost, you know, so many other fans, and now you're just going to be losing more. Baseball's got to step
yeah.
up.
Just being
something
ahead of you.
Yeah. But we got a draft coming in a month, 25 days.
Yeah.
I can't wait. It's going to be a fun NFL draft. We're going to, whatever the order is right now, it's not going to be the same. No, this is going to be, it's going to be an exciting year for the NFL. And your Jets, Lou, I mean, look, they got a lot of pressure because, you know.
Did I tell anybody because of my quarterback situation with the Steelers that AFC championship game, us against Kansas City. And call me crazy.
Okay, you're crazy.
Uh-huh.
Well, hey, look, there's a lot of people picking the Steelers to go really far this year.
I got two quarterbacks for $5 million.
No, Fields makes more than that.
No. We got a total of $5 million for Russell Wilson and Justin Fields. I'm sorry. Oh, have you seen my quarterbacks since Big Ben? And, Big Ben screwed us the last 2-3 years. So thank you for that. Mayfield and what was it? Pickett? Thank you. Yeah. No. Good night.
Well, you know, here's
yeah.
the thing. Russell
it's
Wilson
the championship game. Calling it right now.
Well, here's the thing. Russell Wilson, this will be his 14th year, I think, 13th year.
$1.9 million.
Here's the thing.
26-8 last year, TDs and interceptions. 26-8.
What he's going to do is he's going to, I think he's going to give, propel the Steelers for the first like four games. And by week six, it's all going to come crashing down. And I think that's when it's.
Yeah.
That's when they're gonna come down.
We'll be the starter week two. No, they're like, hey, Russell, what's up? Oh, how's your wife, Sierra? Oh, yeah, that's cool. I appreciate that. How's your Halloween party gonna go? I don't know. We got like 8 bedrooms though. That's cool. And then boom, yeah, week two, Justin Fields, and he. Freaking wipes out the league. I'm so excited, dude. Talking about a dude that played with how many different offensive coordinators, how many different head coaches, and no offensive line. And everybody said with this guy, he's just a runner. Yeah, because he had nowhere to go. So, the guy can throw the ball. He's mature. In his 5 years, 4 years, wherever it is, he is so dialed in. I can't even believe he's going to be a field quarterback. And if we're 10-7 with Mason Rudolph and freaking Pickett? AFC Championship game against Kansas City. Because
the very first time that Russell Wilson is trying to run that team and tries to tell Tomlin anything like he tried to do with Peyton. Tomlin, you think Peyton was bad? Tomlin's going to run him a new one. He's up to Tomlin. Yes, sir. You want me to do this? Yes, sir.
That's fine.
Yeah. He ain't going to be trying any of that crap with Tomlin. He won't take it. But Russell Wilson, going to give
but
the
1.9 and backup. I right, like that. I take that all day long. Denver is paying $38 million.
Yes,
but Russell Wilson is going to give.
That's the best part of it, dude. $38 million.
But Russell Wilson is going to give the Steelers. He's going to give them in probably 3-4 games, but by week 5 or 6, it's all going to come crashing down to earth, and I don't think it's going to be much more than that. It's going to be like a few games, and everyone's going to say, the Steelers. Well, I don't think so. I think it's by week 5, it's going to be a completely different Steeler team, and I don't have a lot of faith in Fields. Fields, no. I don't have faith in him.
No.
I think it'll be good for Justin Fields, though, to caddy for Russ for a while. Honestly, you know, how to be a pro's pro. I guess Russ is in the weight room. Like, you know, he's a good professional. Whether his teammates like him or not, you know, it's a different story. But I think hopefully it brings out the most in Fields, because he scorched the Lions when he played them every time. I mean, he was a problem, like a legitimate problem. But I still think the Steelers, they're going to need a playmaker. I don't know about picking sometimes, like, quits, you know. About him.
Pickens is,
you know, he's a flight risk, in my opinion.
No, he is. He's a flaky player. When he wants to play, okay, he'll go out there. But if he don't, not going to get much out of him. He's streaky.
He's got great talent. I mean, he's, you know, I've seen him make some crazy catches.
All those receivers make crazy
catches.
They were
at the goal line or whatever. He's getting him blocked for his running back or whatever, you know?
Well, it's going to be an interesting season because you've got – there are so many teams up there that have so much writing and so much potential. I mean, the AFC East right there, with the exception of New England, New England's not going nowhere. I mean, you got a linebacker coach? Is not your head coach? Are you kidding me? You don't go from linebacker coach to head coach. I mean, what the hell is a linebacker coach? I mean, I get it, but you're not your coordinator. You're not – I mean, that's not going to work. I don't know who they got for a quarterback. They got rid of everybody. They're going to have to draft for a new quarterback. So what? You draft a new quarterback, and you got no team, and now you've got a young guy coming out of college. Now you're going to ruin him. You ain't going nowhere. I mean, New England doesn't have a team, but, I mean, you still got Miami, Buffalo, and New York Jets if Rodgers can stay healthy. I think if Rodgers stays healthy, I think the Jets are going to be right there in contention. Bills, you don't know what they're going to do.
And they still have the Stephon Diggs question, too, right? Like, you know, it doesn't seem like he's all in right now and might be pursuing a trade and stuff like that. I don't know. I've heard some pundits say that maybe their window's already closed, you know, or closing fast. But, yeah, that's a great division. just between Miami, Buffalo, and the Jets. I mean, that'll be a fun one to watch.
Well, Cleveland's one of those teams that you have a good year, then you have a bad year. We had, you know, a good year last year. Their defense, I think, still real. But you got Baltimore, Cleveland, Pittsburgh, and you've got Cincinnati that if they're healthy, they could be a little scary. So it's going to be a good division, competition in that division. Jacksonville, what happened to them last year? Injuries. But if Jacksonville is healthy, I think they're going to, and I really do believe that Stroud, well, we're going to find out this year if Stroud was really real. There's only one way to tell, and he's got to play this year. And if slips and slides, Kyler Murray.
What I told people about this team, Houston, I was like, they got so many young players that don't know how to lose. And if they play together, dude, you don't want to play against Houston. And people forget, Houston used to be a playoff team in the AFC a lot.
Yes.
And that was the Watt years and whatever. Man, that team, they're so young. They're so young. They're stupid to not know that they're not supposed to be in the AFC
right
championship games and whatever. And the AFC is so stacked right now in football. It is unbelievable. Like, you want to talk about a team and you're saying, hey, you forgot about the Jets? Aaron Rodgers is going to be fully healthy. Good luck with that, everybody. Because, that mother effort is going to beat you in certain games. He is. How many he does? I don't know. But he's going to take out teams that should be in the playoffs. You talk about the Steelers, the Ravens.
The Raiders.
They could seriously beat
Antonio Pierce.
Well, the Raiders are not going to win their division, but I think the Raiders stand a real chance of getting a wild card, but you've got to compete against Jacksonville or Houston. I don't see Indianapolis, but you've got to compete again against Cleveland, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati, Baltimore, the Jets, Miami, and Buffalo. So those two wild cards, I think what we're going to see, more of a race of the wild card. It's going to be a wild card race more than a division race. But again, we could be in division races as well. Well, we said the same thing last year about the AFC being so stacked, and it ended up being, well, stacked, but choked. So, and then the NFC, I mean, Dallas. Well, it looks like this is going to be the last year for Dak. And my brother, we were talking about this. Now, listen.
Is this huge
mess. Hold on, Seth, we'll get you a chance to talk.
I promise you
we'll get to talk, but let me finish, please. Dallas, since this is the last year for Dak, and maybe another year, tops. Well, guess who's going to be coming into the draft at that time? Well, it can say Arch Manning. Now, how about Arch Manning in Dallas? If you want, I mean, that's perfect for Dallas.
Okay.
Texas.
To be honest, have we really seen Arch Manning in college football?
We haven't. He's only played a little bit.
Has anybody really seen Arch?
He's going to get it. He'll get it.
Oh, no. But, yeah, if the guy really does do whatever, and then he goes to the Cowboys, yeah.
A Manning on the Cowboys, right? But
Manning.
But, no,
right.
What a great – like, if he is all of that, Yeah, I can see it, the timeline. I can see that, Ski. Like,
well, he's playing in Texas now, and you go to Dallas, and Texas already knows who he is. I mean, he'll get the key to the city immediately as soon as he shows up. You're a city now, kid. And if anybody's going to shine and bring the Cowboys back, I think it's going to have to be a guy like Arch Manning. I don't see it through Dak. I never did. I never saw that guy. I never did. He's not a guy.
And what's so sad is that Dak Prescott is a guy that can be 12-5 every year. 12-5, which, I mean, for everybody else in an organization, you're like, I always love to be 12-5. And then just get blown out at home. The worst defeat in Cowboys history ever. And it was at home.
I know. And you don't lose like that.
I gotta deal with that.
Look.
Oh, yeah. You don't think Jerry Jones doesn't know that was the worst defeat ever in a playoff game, and it happened to be at home.
Yeah.
Oh,
look,
if
you're
going to
lose to the Packers.
Against the Packers. And it was a
lose to the Packers.
I mean,
you're
going
to have to lose.
Green Bay, how many CDs do you want to throw? Oh, I'll throw this one. Okay. Yeah, that's
well,
so good.
If you're going to lose to the Packers, if Dallas is going to lose to the Packers, you're going to have to lose to the Packers in Green Bay against a Favre or a Rodgers. You're not going to lose to Green Bay in Dallas to Love?
Against Jordan Love.
Jordan Love. Trying to get not just beat, but spanked. I mean.
Oh, no. It was an embarrassment. It was horrible. It was the worst type of defeat you could ever see. I mean, it was more than four touchdowns, right? More than four?
Yeah, I mean, it was for Philadelphia to lose to Tampa Bay? That, in Tampa, or in Philly, they lost Tampa Bay. Now, I don't know what's going on in Philly, but they got too good of a team to be, you know, losing like the way they did. They just, the wheels fell off of the bus in the last, you know, 6 weeks of the 5 weeks of the season. That happened, I don't know. But your Giants in Washington, but Detroit. Now, Detroit has a lot of pressure because, yeah, you went to the title game. Now the only way to improve is you got to go to the Super Bowl.
You basically were winning against the San Francisco 49ers for the first half by a big enough amount. It looked pretty good for you to go to the Super Bowl. Just saying, for the lie down.
Yeah, their window, you know, everybody's like, okay, their window's opening and stuff, and it's like, that's why it was nice for them to capitalize and make the championship. They got the monkey off the back. They won the playoff game, you know, and then they went and won another one, you know. So they're building, and they had a great offseason. Nothing flashy, nothing, you know. They didn't spend frivolously, and you know Brad Holmes is going to draft. That's his jam. He's really good at that. But you also took. Green Bay took a little leap, you know, where they were down a little bit, and they came back. They made the playoffs. They're going to be a solid team. They signed Josh Jacobs. They're making moves. So I don't think that it's a lock for the Lions to win the division by any means.
And what is the score of Vikings going to deal with their quarterback situation?
Right.
And on top of it, with the Bears,
and the Bears just got infinitely better this offseason. I mean, Keenan Allen, you know, what a way to start off a rookie quarterback's career. It's a stacked offense. you know, they've got key defensive pieces too. Like, it's a legit team. I think the Central's going to be a really tough battle next year.
Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Well, I think Green Bay.
Quarterback.
That's insane.
And DV.
But Green Bay over exceeded what they should have.
Yeah.
And I think this year, I think they're going to be have their welcome to the NFL moment. I don't see them going anywhere near as far as they were last year, but they're still going to be competitive. You're going to have to come out there and, you know, play your A game. But Detroit, you've got a lot of pressure. You can't afford to choke in the postseason. The only way you're going to improve is you have to go to the Super Bowl, because anything less is going backwards. But
yeah, and it's refreshing that that's the position they're in after all those years of being the exact polar opposite of that, right? We were looking forward to the draft come October. As soon as October hit the schedule, we're already looking for draft seeding and, like, who's coming out. And that's the way it's been for decades.
Right.
And
yeah.
You saw the city just rally around them. Like, they were traveling with the team like it was a Grateful Dead show, right? They were following them anywhere.
Yeah.
It was great.
Well, here's another thing, though. You still have San Francisco, who is going to be intact. And you have the Rams that are getting more and more healthy. There's going to be a lot of competition in the NFL this year. I mean, it's up and down competition everywhere.
That's what the league wanted, parity. And boy, do we have it. Like, every year, you know, there's always that couple surprise, last to first, you know, win the division they're in. Yeah, it's a great time for the NFL right now. It really is.
Well, look at all the teams that had all the potential, and then look what happened. Well, injuries. Injuries, injuries, injuries. Except for Buffalo.
Yeah.
They got four-wooded. But other than that, I mean, Miami was injured. Tua, yeah, he was a lot more hurt in the last 4 weeks of the season than I think even longer than that, actually, because you got a guy like Hill. You don't throw to Hill a 10-yard pass. Well, he couldn't throw the long bombs. What you do with Hill is you say, just go to the end zone and I'll just huff it. You know he's going to catch it. No one's going to be anywhere near him. But Tua couldn't throw more than 20 yards. He couldn't throw the ball.
Tyreek Hill is the best in the league. That mother effer can get away from anybody. And that ball, he's got.
You don't have a quarterback that can throw the ball more than 10 yards. He's ineffective. He does not know how to catch those. That's for a tight end. You're going to throw the ball 10 yards. That's for a tight end. You don't throw the ball 10 yards to Hill. Hill will not catch the ball in 10 yards. You've got to throw him deep. Tua couldn't throw the ball deep. His shoulder was all banged up. You could tell. He was hurt. That's what cost
I have a question. Have they extended Tua yet? Did he get the big money?
Good question. Let me see if I got anything on this. But I'm sure they did.
Let's see. Came out 2020. Was that his rookie year? This would be the fourth year, usually. But, yeah, I was just wondering.
This will be Tua's sixth year. This will be his number six. So he came in 2018, but see, he was hurt for the first 2 years that he came up. He was injured. Still had Tannehill at one point. But Tua was injured in college most of his career. And that's why when Gruden was still doing that, they were talking about it. They were saying, you know, this guy's just a big ball of injuries.
Yeah.
Well, same with Richardson. I mean, Richardson in Indianapolis, come on. You ain't going nowhere with that guy.
Nope.
No, I would imagine.
It'll be interesting to see Richardson develop, though. Like, you know, we just got a little glimpse. But it's the whole key to it is staying healthy, you know. And that can really set your franchise back. if you're starting, you know, possible Pro Bowl quality quarterback goes down, and that just changes your season in a hurry.
Yeah, but even when he did play, when he was healthy, he wasn't that good. Of course, the Colts weren't that good anyway, but they're a mess. But no, that's going to really hurt the Dolphins if Tua can't throw the ball. Well, and hey, look, you've got, with the Chiefs. Now, their tight end, Kelsey, okay, he's been in the league now for like 12, 13 years. That's a long time for a tight end, man. And once they start getting hurt, they constantly are getting hurt. And he got hurt last year. And same thing with Gronk. When he started to get hurt, what happened? That's just the position. It's not the individual. It's the position. Those tight ends don't last for
a weird
long.
Thing between Mahomes and Kelsey is that they can throw the weirdest throw you've ever seen in your entire life, and it works.
Yeah.
And
they're injured.
Kelsey and Mahomes have a chemistry that I've never seen before with anybody. And that's why those both efforts have how many Super Bowl wins? It's wins, man. It's not like whatever.
They have three?
Yeah, at least three, right?
No, they got three. They got three. But I mean,
how hard it is to win one Super Bowl? One.
Yeah.
You got three, and you're still playing on the same team. I'm telling you, these guys are going to get at least one more. If not two.
Well, here's what I want. I want Detroit and Kansas City in the Super Bowl, and I want Detroit to destroy them, humble them, tear them down, saying you're nowhere near Brady and the Patriots. But that won't happen because I'm wishing for it. So that would be a fun Super. But again, you've got so many of these other teams that are equally qualified, Super Bowl caliber teams. There's still of them. Buffalo should be, Miami should be, the Jets should be, Baltimore should be, Kansas City, obviously. The Raiders, we don't know yet, but Dallas and Philly should have been, Detroit, San Francisco, and the Rams. I mean, there's a lot of teams right there. That's at least eight teams that are Super Bowl caliber. I mean, that's...
I really did like it that you mentioned the Raiders, and I'm thinking probably not Super Bowl, but anyways.
No, that's what he was saying. He doesn't know yet. Like, it, you know.
Yeah, no, no.
Yeah, what do they do at quarterback? Because they got O'Connell, right? And then I think I saw in a mock draft, and I think it would be perfect, would be drafting like
Michael.
No,
they got Minshew.
Oh, they got Gardner Minshew, right?
Yep. Right.
I don't know if he's the new fifth magic.
I think is perfect for the Raiders. Perfect for him. I really do.
You got that rookie start look. Week one, and we go 5-0. And then
The Raiders, I don't think, are going, you know, I think they stand a pretty good chance at least fighting and being in competition for at least a wild card. So they got three wild cards now.
Yeah.
So the Raiders take that third wild card. I mean,
you know, that's what we're basing it on, and it sounds like pretty good. Like, wow, that's not shaking ground.
Well, hey, it's sports. I mean, if it's legitimate, you never know what the hell's going to happen. Now you got Denver.
No, you don't.
I guess it's the way I have to look at it, right?
And then you got the Chargers. Now, I don't think the Chargers are going to be improved from 5-12. But in a couple of years,
no.
I look for the Chargers to be challenging the Chiefs because they're going to be losing Kelsey.
Marvin Harrison Jr. And people are like, what the F happened? And freaking Harbaugh is the head coach. And then he's going to be like, hey, man, you didn't take McCarthy at like 7? You know? Yeah.
Harbaugh's cleaning house. He's getting rid of a lot of stuff. He's building a team and having to play with not a lot of money and not a lot of drafted. So he's building that team from scratch. He's building the foundation. He's adding in the walls. And look for the Chargers to be much more competitive. This year they're going to be improved. I wouldn't even give a wild card, but I think they're going to be better than 5-12. That's for sure. Denver, I think, I even look out for Denver here in a couple of years, too. I mean, well, all these teams. You know, I mean, no, this is going to be an exciting year. I guarantee you, first pick this week, the first week, our picks, actually win because I go for all the long shots and the crazy picks, but it's definitely going to be different. But who knows? Who knows? Let's see what's going on here in Illinois. What's going on here with UConn? Come on. UConn 44, Illinois 23.
Yeah,
ouch.
You
would
say anything different, Coach?
That was quite a run they went. I think Illinois had 23 at the half.
Yeah. Yeah, we're in the second half, 14 minutes, 35 seconds left. So they just started. Well, actually, that's almost 6 minutes in, and they only got 23. So, yeah, Illinois, you're done. UConn's moving on. Yeah, but how many times have we seen stuff like this in college basketball where a team comes out of nowhere?
It's not come out like this. UConn is like, we're done. We're over. It's okay. Dude, we're winning by 20-plus points.
Well, now it's going to be, it's 46.
Yeah.
46-23. Well, I love a good comeback. I love it. I love it when teams are getting their butts wet.
Yeah.
And then turn around.
I don't think you're going to see it here.
Probably not.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Especially
they just trying to make a basket. And
then white dudes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I was 48.
Yeah. A white dude just dunked it on you. Yeah. You're done.
And the clock is ticking, and they just can't get nothing working. They get down in the paint, and then they choke, and they miss. They get UConn gets a rebound and just drives the ball downfield, and let's go for a three-pointer, and you miss. And UConn's driving down the field again. Boom, there it goes, another 2 points. So 50-23. Yeah. Almost broke the basket. He grabbed onto it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Yeah. Now you're down like 20. And, you know, hey, it's a fast break. Get another two. It's good. No, it's going to be a really cool scheme. Like,
So now it's 51. Wow. I mean, you know, to play on a team, you're getting your butts whipped. It's, you know, you're just starting the second half, and you're down by 20-some points. And you can't seem to get anything going. You've just got to be, man. You get an earthquake or, you know, something to stop this madness. You know, stop the blood. Hey, I mean, Illinois, you made it to the, you know, the Elite Eight. That's
sounds like 32. It's fine. Well, yeah,
but, I mean, to make it to the Elite Eight, you're going to be kind of good. But they're just, oh, my God, this is just horrible watching this. There is no competition. Now it's 53.
Yeah.
No way to rep the Big Ten. The Big Ten still has Purdue after this, too. But looks like Illinois is going home. Good season, though.
Like I said, you made it to the Elite Eight. Now I'm not, you know, that's, but yeah, it's over. 30 points. You're losing by 13 minutes and 2 seconds left. Can you overtake UConn? 13 minutes to get, you got to get 30 points to tie them. No, there's no way.
That's when you just put in the 12th man and just let them start bombing it. You never know, right? Somebody just needs to get hot. But that's a lot of points to make up with a little over 12 minutes to go.
Oh, my God. Uh-oh.
Now they're really kind of digging with them.
Oh, they finally made a basket. Look at that, 53-25. Wow.
Yeah.
Think about how close the game is now. You know?
Well, UConn's got some nice looking cheerleaders sitting over there.
Yeah, they do.
Keep shaking those pom-poms there, girls. I like cheerleaders. And I love it when they jump. Do the splits in midair. But I'm a horn dog, so.
Right.
Oh, they just had a stat up there, and they just took it off, and I wanted to read it. It was a pretty good stat. Oh, man. Oh, well. Well, I did have the bracket. And I want to see this. I want to see this bracket. If UConn wins, where is this bracket? Who do they play next? Does anybody know?
No, I just saw it. Let me flip back to it.
Yeah, first.
Got a bracket here. Come on, pop up. Here we are.
The winner of Clemson, Alabama?
UConn and Illinois will play Alabama or Clemson. And Duke is playing North Carolina, and Purdue is playing Tennessee. Purdue's always up there, too.
Yeah, I don't know.
So, no, I mean, getting fun. Well, that Final Four, I like the Final Four. The Final Four is exciting. The Elite Eight is kind of... It's like an appetizer, You know, but the Final Four, that you're getting into the main course. You know? And then, of course, the final.
Know where the Final Four is at this year? Stadium or city?
Phoenix.
Phoenix?
Four is going to be in Phoenix, so. I don't know where they're at now.
You needed to
Well, here's the thing. We got to wait a week before the Final Four.
Yeah.
Right. They'll finish the games tomorrow. The Final Four will be set, and then they literally wait another week?
Yep. April 6th is Final Four.
Yes.
Oh, it must be next weekend. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, pretty much a week.
And then 2 days later, April 8th, that's the big one. That's the big one. Phoenix, Arizona. It's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know what date that would be. Let me check my calendar. Would that be a Sunday? Where's my calendar on here? Calendar, here we are. Oh, pop, come on, let's go. Come on. I just want to see what day it is. Oh my God, now I got to go.
I think it's a Monday.
Well, that seems kind of weird. You'd have the final on Monday.
Yeah. But it's always been on a Monday, actually.
Yeah, it's not very good marketing. They would do it like a Friday or Saturday. You know, you would get a lot more viewership.
Yes.
It's going to get a lot. It's going to draw a lot, but... Who wants to stay up and watch the championship game? And, you know, you got to get up early for work. No fun. Can't have as many cocktails as you'd like.
Right.
I just lost everything. Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're still on the air. But I lost all my screens. I lost everything.
Oh.
All right. Well, okay. I got this back. I don't know what happened. I just wanted to check my calendar. And everything just went crazy. Okay. Here it is. The 8th year is on a Monday. I don't like that. That should be on a Sunday. The championship game should be on a Sunday.
Yes.
And it shouldn't be late at night, so you don't have, you know, so you can get, it should be, you know, late afternoon. You know, on the West Coast, you know, have it 4 o'clock on the West Coast, 7 o'clock on the East Coast. Yeah. Well.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? It happens.
Mm-hmm. Only what you can do.
Yeah, it just seems kind of weird, though. I don't remember last year. I remember 2 years ago when we were, I think it was on a Saturday or Sunday. We were watching it. And we were talking about it.
Great.
During the game, had the game on when we were doing the show.
Yeah.
Clemson and Alabama are playing now, too. Let's see what their scores are. Let's see what's going on there. Well, it brought me to the UConn game, so I guess the Tigers and Crimson Tide aren't playing. I don't know. Sometimes these links, I hate this crap. These links. You turn on one link to watch one game, and they give you something else. Well, maybe they play later. I think they do. I think they must play later. Let's see.
Alabama Clemson play at 8:49 tonight.
Okay. So, okay. There it is. There it is.
Bama's favored by 3.5.
Really?
They both had the same record. They're both 24-11.
I know.
Well, I'm trying to find out. Well, who was this other game that they were talking about? That must be the women's basketball.
Yes.
Yeah.
The Nova Southeastern versus Minnesota State. Yeah, that's
why don't you say Caitlin Clark with Iowa? Caitlin Clark.
Yeah.
Now, I think Duke and the South and the Midwest, I think they play tomorrow. I think they're tomorrow's games.
Yep, yeah, they got two tomorrow. One like at 2:20, then the other one at 5. Then we'll know. But that game will know the final score.
All right. Well, let's do a quick round here. The first game, Duke at North Carolina State. We'll start with you, Lou. Who wins that game, Duke or North Carolina?
I think it's going to be Duke, but NC State's going to make it a very close game.
All right. Seth, who do you got?
NC State.
Okay.
Oh.
Pubs, who's going to win it?
I'm going to take Duke on this one.
I'm taking Duke, too. I just had a feeling. All right. Now the next game, we got Purdue at Tennessee. That could be a really, really good game. So, Lou, who wins, Purdue or Tennessee?
I'm going to go Purdue.
Yep. Seth, who wins, Purdue, Tennessee?
Tennessee.
Okay, Pubs, who wins this game?
I think Purdue's going to get it done tomorrow.
Yeah, I think Purdue and Tennessee, I think that's going to be a closer game than Duke and North Carolina. I see Duke just whooping them. But Purdue and Tennessee, I think that's going to be a battle. I think that's going to come. You're going to see probably a late shot. You know, a long three-pointer to win by one kind of a game.
Some March Madness magic, right, that we're missing.
Exactly. I love that. I love that. Well, we saw that a couple of years ago. That was Gonzaga from my home state, and they threw that three-pointer that was just ridiculous. It was – there's no way that ball went in, and then they won. One. It was last second, buzzer beater. Who doesn't love a buzzer beater? You throw the ball in the air, the ball is in the air, the buzzer's going off, and it goes through the hoop. I mean, it's just...
For the win, it's magical.
You win by one, and that's what makes it just, oh, my God. The whole crowd, everybody just loses it. You know, and the team that lost, they're just like, you've got to be kidding me, man. This cannot be real. What did I do to God that he hates me so much for? We'll see. So it should be kind of interesting. Yeah, UConn's still up, 56-29. Ooh, Illinois catching up. There's only 9 minutes and 45 seconds left. And now UConn is just they're just screwing around. They're not even they're eating the clock, you know. And you got to at this point. You got 9 minutes left. You're still up by 30. Eat the clock. Get the game over with. Yeah, they keep throwing these three pointers and they keep missing. Illinois, you know, go for the go for the short running first. You're not ready for the three-pointers yet. It's not going to get you nowhere because you keep throwing them. You keep missing them. And UConn keeps getting the ball. But, I mean, they're desperate. At this point, you're desperate. You're down by 30. You got to start going for the three-pointers. But
it's only 30, Steve.
Yeah, no, 30 points. I know, it's only 30.
They're making something. They're going to have to start making something.
Yeah, well, you got nothing else. I mean.
Yeah, time to just launch it. Just go Steph Curry mode, logo it up, whatever. Like, just, you're already down by 30. It's not going to get worse. If you lose by 30 or 40 today, it doesn't matter. You got blown out. It's over, right? No
right.
big deal.
It's in basketball.
That's what I'm saying. It's already bad. Might as well just start chucking them. Just let them go.
Let them go.
Hope somebody gets hot, dude.
Oh, hey. Yeah, I'm only down by 22. No, you're down by 30 plus. Yeah. You've lost. Oh, and you're going against UConn. So, yeah, you really lost. Like, oh, no, not today.
I mean, they've got that experience. They've got that tourney experience. They, I don't know, go to the Sweet 16 a lot. They make a lot of Final Fours.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to have to do some incredible defense. You're going to need a ton of three-pointers and a whole bunch of fouls because you've only got 8 minutes left. They don't have time.
There's
time
one.
Is not on their side, man.
Nope.
Yeah, no, I don't see it either, right?
Well,
no
I just got a 60-second cue. So, hey, I thought we had a pretty good show here tonight. Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Pubs. And thank you, Seth. We didn't have Viper. We did have some people in the chat room. So I want to thank all of those, all of you. And, hey, next week we'll be talking more, a little more about that and a little bit more of everything that goes on. So thank you, everybody, for listening, and we'll see you back here next week. Saturday night, 6 p.m. Eastern. Goodbye, everybody.